Please turn to Psalm 51, and we're going to read verses 10 through 13 as we confess our sins to our Lord. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Amen. So this morning we want to look at verse 13. As we've worked our way through Psalm 51, we come to verse 13. And Psalm 51 has been teaching us the pattern of confession and repentance and God's restoring grace. It is very instructive for us in this regard, and very fitting that we would learn from it as we confess our sins. So when we come to verse 13, we notice that it begins with the word then. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Well, if we go back to verse 12, we remember that David had said, he had pleaded with the Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. And now he's saying the effect of that, the effect of God's restoring grace, will be that he will teach transgressors God's ways. It flows from that. So what verse 13 is describing is one of the effects of God's restoring grace. As we confess our sins, as we humble ourselves before God, and as he pours out his mercy upon us and restores our joy, inevitably we become teachers of God's grace. We bear witness to the work of grace in our lives. What an amazing effect this restoring grace has upon us. And you see how God turns what you meant for evil with your sin, and he uses it for good. When you decided to sin against the Lord, you went after your own interests. You broke God's law. You strayed from God's path. And then when you realized your foolish behavior or your foolish thoughts, you humbled yourself before God, you confessed those things, and then the Lord says, I will bring out of this sinful situation a new humility in you, a new appreciation for my grace, a new love for Christ that will be increased, and from that, I will make you a teacher of other sinners. And the effect of that will be that sinners will turn back to me. Praise be to God how he uses this humbling confession and restoration to bring sinners to himself. So notice then that David, writing by the Holy Spirit, connects teaching others and bearing witness to the grace of God to your own spiritual condition. And what this means is that the best witness for the gospel of Christ is a humble, saved sinner, trusting in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Spurgeon says it this way, the degree of SS, saved sinner, is more needful than a Master of Arts degree in theology or a Doctor of Divinity degree to bear witness to the gospel of Christ. That is the degree that we need. That is the school, the seminary that we must go through, brothers and sisters, is that humbling confession, restoration, receiving the grace of God, and then we have our SS degrees and we can bear witness to the goodness of God. Now, we should all desire to have this impact upon others. Sometimes we'll study evangelism books. We could memorize different approaches like The Way of the Master by Ray Comfort. We could carry tracts or Bibles with us. All these things would be very valuable, right, in their own way. But you know what's most important? It's most important that you personally and experientially know God's saving grace in your life if you would share that grace with others. If you would teach someone about what it means to repent before God, you must live a life of repentance. If you would teach someone what it means to trust in Jesus Christ alone and not trust in their own works, then you must be doing that same thing. You must be trusting in Christ. If you would teach someone about what it means to be humble before God, then you cannot be a proud sinner telling them to do this. You must be a humble person. You see then, brothers and sisters, how closely connected our own spiritual condition is to how we might reach others. Now, this has implication for teaching in our homes, parents. How are we going to teach our children to look to Jesus Christ, to cry out for mercy from him, if we don't do the same thing ourselves? How will we teach them the pattern of humility if we never humble ourselves before them and before God in prayer? If we are proud, self-sufficient sinners, then they're not going to see the need for this Christ that we speak of. You don't appear to need Him yourself, is what they might think. We don't want that to be the case. So therefore, we see the connection between the spiritual condition of ourselves and bearing witness to the grace of God. Now notice the effect of this at the second line of verse 13. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. It flows as the necessary result of our teaching transgressors God's ways. Sinners will be converted. They're going to turn back to God. So what is the very best evangelism program that we could have in this church? The answer? A humble church of sinners who have repented, who glory in the grace of God, and who just can't wait to tell others about how merciful God has been to them. That's the best evangelism program. We can add other things, we can do other books, we can watch other videos. Great, please bring them in. But this is most important for us, brothers and sisters. If sinners would be converted, we must be a humble church, relying upon the grace of God. And as we think about this, if we see from the reasoning of verse 13 that sinners are going to be turning back, and if we don't see many sinners turning back to God in our midst, that should make us consider, are we a humble church? Have we gone through this process of humbling, of repentance, and of the joy of salvation coming upon us by the work of the Spirit? If that happens, then we were going to see conversions in this church. And so we as God's people, each of us, in light of verse 13, should consider, have we humbled ourselves before God? Have we confessed these things? Have we gotten to the root sins and forsaken them? Are we a repenting church? Are we a humble church? Do we have our SS degrees? And from that overflow, do we speak of God's amazing grace? So let's pray for these things in our congregation, friends. Let's pray for humility. Let's pray for repentance, more love and adoration for God. And pray for just this overflow where we can't but speak of the grace of God. We can't but speak. We must tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ because He is such an amazing Savior who has saved us from so many sins. So I invite you now to come to the throne of grace. Confess your sins. We come to God the Father through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And just like that snow that you see outside right now, He cleanses us white. We wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb and we come out completely white. So let's come to that throne of grace now through our High Priest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see in this verse of Psalm 51 that it is through Your saving grace upon us and the joy that You grant that we become teachers to other sinners. Lord, we want to be used that way by You. We want to share Your mercy with others. We want to see sinners converted to You. And we ask that You would work in the hearts of all of us in this congregation, that You would search each of us and know us. See if there be any wicked way in us, that we might truly humble ourselves, that we might see the depth of our own sin, that we would confess it, we would forsake it. And as we do so, we would experience Your amazing grace, that we would take hold of Your promises, and we would know the joy of our salvation. And then we would teach other sinners. We would teach our children. We would teach those in our family. We would teach others outside of the church, pointing them to the cross of Christ, where our burden of sin falls away. And now we take a moment to each confess our own sins before the Lord.